Today I am finishing a series that we have been doing through the season of Advent on the gifts of Christmas, and particular today then, the gift of Jesus. We've been following this series every week that we light a Christmas candle here with the themes that go with those candles of the Advent table here. So we've talked about things like the gift of hope, the gift of love, the gift of joy, the gift of peace. And today, on Christmas Day, the gift of Jesus, that we celebrate Christ born for us. In 1990, the movie Home Alone came out. So it's been around for a while, but it's one of those Christmas favorites, at least at my house it is, and one of those things that we try to watch every year. So perhaps many of you know this movie and have seen it at some point, but I mean, the quick and easy recap of this is the setting there is suburban Chicago, and Macaulay Culkin is the actor who plays 8-year-old Kevin McAllister, who finds himself left home alone at Christmas. So the rest of his family is all gathered, and they're going to go on vacation to France, so they gather, and all their relatives are there because they're all going on a family trip to France. And something happens during the night, and the power goes out, and the alarms don't go off in the morning. So they oversleep, and they wake up late, and they're rushed to get out the door to catch their flight, and they forget to wake up Kevin, who's just left sleeping while everyone else goes away. They're on the plane and already flying before they realize it. Kevin wakes up and he's home alone, all by himself. Now, some of the plot that goes around behind that is Kevin is having a little difficulty with his family, right? There's a bit of a struggle there, and he finds himself in a moment where he's really frustrated, saying, "I wish I didn't even have a family, right? I wish you would all just disappear." Then he stomps off to bed that night. So Kevin, 8-year-old Kevin, wakes up the next day, and his family's gone, and his thought is, "I made my family disappear because I wished they would all go away." And he thinks it's the best thing ever. Finally, all these family that annoys him so much are gone, and he can just be alone, right? And sort of do things his own way, the way that he wants. That's sort of the premise of the movie as it comes there. And if you know how it goes then, I mean, little 8-year-old Kevin has to figure out how to live by himself for a few days. But then also, turns out, he has to thwart off some burglars who are rather clumsy, trying to break into the home and steal things, and how that goes. It's a fun movie, and some of that is, I mean, a ridiculous premise of, I hope it's something that we don't ever relate to, of being left alone when we're 8 years old and having to do that. But the thing that makes movies something that's relatable is when there's something in the movie that resonates. Now, that story of being left home alone when you're a young kid is not the thing that resonates, but there is something in that film that resonates with every single one of us. I think it's one of the things that gives that movie sort of staying power here 25 years later, still on. So because I'm the kind of person who overanalyzes movies when I watch them and that kind of thing, I think there's a key scene. In fact, the most important scene in the entire film comes somewhere a little past the middle of it, where Kevin finds himself walking into a church on Christmas Eve. He's still home alone. His parents aren't back yet. None of his family's returned. He's walking into this church on Christmas Eve, and it's not the actual service, but it's a rehearsal, so the choir's rehearsing, and there's only a few people sitting there, but Kevin walks into this church, and he sits down, and sitting right there, across from him, turns out to be his next-door neighbor, old Mr. Marley, someone who Kevin's kind of afraid of. And in that church and in that scene, Kevin and old Mr. Marley, they actually strike up a conversation and they talk a little bit. And that, I think, is, all right, that's the whole movie right there, in that 1 2-minute scene where Kevin begins to realize that even though he has struggles with his family, right, even though there's difficulty, even though there's times when he wish he wouldn't have to put up with all the things that goes on with his family, he realizes there But you know what? I actually love them. And I actually do want to have my family back again. And even if it means having to work through some of these issues that always are bothering us, that's okay, I'll work through it. Just so I can have my family back again. And then as it turns out, ironically, or I would say in this case, very unironically, old Mr. Marley has the exact same situation. That he's separated from his family too. And he kind of wishes he could have them all back too. And in this conversation that takes place there, I think that's where the whole movie sort of unpacks. And that's the thing that resonates, right? I mean, that's the thing that I think is relatable to every one of us. Because it's captured in that scene that, I mean, the youngest character in the movie, Kevin McAllister, and the oldest character in the movie, old Mr. Marley, share the exact same experience. That the thing they are both wanting, they both desire, a family in which to belong. That's where it all goes. And I think that's the thing that makes it relatable. That when it comes down to it, we all are people who just want a family in which to belong, whatever that looks like, right? Whether that's literal biological family or friends, right? Relationships, a context, a place where we feel like this is our family and we can belong. Recognizing all the things that we see that go along with it in a film like Home Alone, that it can be complicated. Families can be messy. Families can have to work some things out. But despite all of that, there's something that's just hardwired inside each one of us to desire relationship like that, to desire a family in which to belong. So we can think about Christmas in a lot of ways, right? We think about Christmas in ways that make us think of all that God has given to us, that we celebrate the gift of Jesus and what that means. And I want to maybe drill in on a very particular angle towards that this morning, of what it means that we have been given the gift of Jesus. And it has to do with a family in which to belong. And what that means. So, I will once again this week be reading from Romans, where we've been looking at all through this series. In Romans, only a few verses out of Romans this time, but I'm also going to tag that with a few verses that come a little bit later from the book of Galatians. So, both these are written by the Apostle Paul, as it comes to us, and these are Paul's words to the church about what it means to have family, a gift of family in which to belong. Before I read that, would you pray with me? God, this is your word. And as we open your word today, we pray that through your Holy Spirit, that this wouldn't just be words written so long ago to a church that existed so long ago, but may these be your words written to us today to hear from you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so I'm going to begin here then. Romans 8, verses 14 through 17. Here's what Paul says. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit. We are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Paul, at another time in his letter to the Galatians, writes essentially the same thing with a few different words. Here's what it says in Galatians in chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Paul says this, But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So something about the gifts that we receive at Christmas and what this looks like for us as we think about receiving the gift of Jesus, born on Christmas Day that we celebrate, the gift of God given to us, and so many things that we think of as a gift of salvation, that Jesus came to bring salvation. Now, often, I think when we think of salvation, we think of that as a backwards event. Let me explain what I mean by that. That we often think of salvation as something of what it is I'm saved from. And we think of that in terms of, in the church, with our spiritual salvation, we are saved from the guilt of our own sin. We are saved from the punishment and consequences that go along with our sinful nature. That God comes, Jesus is born, so that we can be saved from those things. And I think we think of that in other ways. As you think of what being saved, just in other situations in our world, may look like, that we often think those same ways, right? I mean, think of, well, lifeguards are there to save you from drowning, if that need should ever arise. Or first responders are there to save people from a serious accident that happens. Or firemen are there to save people from burning buildings, or whatever that may be. Often when we think about what it means to be saved, we tend to think backwards. What I'm saved from, out of, that kind of a thing. Paul, though, when he thinks of salvation, has more of a multi-view perspective towards it. That, yes, there is a backwards piece to it, that we are saved from our own sinful nature, right? The consequences that go along with the guilt of our sin. We are saved from that. But Paul is also very intentional about having a direction, not just backwards, but forwards. That salvation is also forward-looking. That it's not just what we're saved from or out of, but it's also what we are saved for, into, what we are saved towards. That salvation sort of has this multi-view perspective about it that way. I think that's where we're seeing some of that come through in this passage that we see today. That we are saved into something, not just out from something, but into something. And in particular, it's family. That God comes to save us into something like that. Maybe you've had the experience of receiving a gift at Christmas, or a gift at a birthday or something like that. Comes in a gift bag, and it's one of those gift bags that, you know, has all the tissue paper stuffed in it. Sort of have to pull that aside. And then sometimes you open a gift like that and you find something in there and pull it out, and whoever gave you that gift, right? I mean, they put more than one thing in there, so they tell you, keep going, there's more, right? So yeah, keep going, there's more. I think as Paul writes his letters in the New Testament, that's kind of the feel that I get, right? It's sort of this gift bag from God, and you pull some of that tissue paper aside and pull some of that gift out that God gives. And it's as though Paul is writing to the churches and saying, keep going, there's more. Keep digging in, there's more. You're not done yet, right? That God's gift just sort of keeps giving that way. That's where he goes with this idea of thinking forward, what we're saved into and what that means for us. That we are saved then into adoption into a covenant family. Did you catch that language in the passages that we read here today? Right, that we are adopted as children of God. That God, who is referred to in the Bible as the Heavenly Father, is now our Heavenly Father. That is part of our family. That Christ himself, the one who comes and is born in a manger, is considered a, well, the language that they use in the Bible is co-heir. I think we would just think of that as sibling, right? A brother, part of the family that comes to us that way. That this is the gift that we receive at Christmas with Jesus. A gift of a covenant family. Something in which we can belong that way. And it reminds us that because this comes as a gift, that this is something that is given to us. Not something that we somehow get or create on our own. Right? Not something that I have to have the resume to apply for, right? Can I belong to a church and be a part of a covenant community because, whatever, I check all the right boxes, or I do all the right things, or I live the right way, or I volunteer for all the right things? No. I think the reminder we see today with Christmas is that this is a gift. The covenant community, the family of God, is a gift given to us by God himself. And what is it that you do with a gift except receive it? Right? That we receive this. The gift of salvation then, and the gift of a covenant family in which to belong that comes along with salvation, all we do is receive it. In faith, we receive the gift that has come to us. In faith, we receive salvation in Christ. Not doing anything to earn it or prove it, but simply to receive the gift that God offers to us. And it comes to us in that way. It comes to us in a way where we're reminded then that all of what we say about what it means to be a Christian, everything that we say about what it means to be a follower of Christ, to be a part of the church, to be a part of this covenant community, all of that depends entirely upon the gift given that we receive. That it does not depend on us in any way, but it all depends on what God has already done for us, that we simply receive to be a part of this. Let me point towards a practical implication of that, though, of what that means. Because maybe there are times where we think of, yeah, so I'm saved into this covenant family, that I'm a part of God's eternal family now. And maybe we think of that as a someday thing, right? Someday as in the future. Right, there will be an afterlife someday where I will be joined with that and that. But Paul talks about this in right now kind of language. That it's already happened. And sure, we will see the fulfillment of that when Jesus comes again. But Paul wants to make it clear that we are people who live right now as children of the Heavenly Father. Right now. That right now, even now, we are co-heirs with Christ, called by God, saved by grace through faith. That it's a gift that doesn't come with a post-dated check, right? It's not that kind of thing. It's not a gift that comes with a tag that says, oh, wait, open this till later, right? You'll get this somewhere later. It's a gift that God gives and says, right now, open it right now. It's yours right now. To receive that gift. So I think the practical implication that comes with us along with that is to accept it and receive it, right? This covenant family to which we belong in God, open it up, put it on, wear it, as gifts go that way, right? You see what I'm saying? Live like you are a part of covenant, that covenant family. Even now, even today, even in the world in which we live, that we would claim that identity and know that. The early church had this tradition, right? In the first centuries of the church, they had a tradition that people would actually change their birthdays. I don't know that they celebrated birthdays then the way we do now, but they had a tradition in the early church to say the day that they were baptized became their new birthday. That they would consider that, their baptism, as a day when they were born. Because it's the day that marked that they, by that symbol of baptism, right, that they belong to this family of God, that they were adopted into that family, that covenant family, that time and on that day. That we would open that gift and say, this is who we are now. And I'm going to live like that. Which brings us back to a reminder then, right? A reminder that we see in characters like Kevin McAllister and old Mr. Marley that, all right, the world that we live in now, families can be complicated. This gift that we've been given to be a part of God's covenant family, a gift that we see even right now, we see in a world that's still broken. And it is complicated. That it takes a little bit of work on our end. But that's only a reminder for us that this gift that we received at Christmas of Jesus coming to us, that Christ's commitment to the gift that he gives is ongoing. So even though Jesus came and he lived on earth and he died on the cross and his sacrifice on the cross was once and for all to take the guilt of our sin, his commitment for us to be a part of that eternal family is a commitment that keeps going. Did you catch that in this passage as well? The nod that is given by the Apostle Paul, both in the passage in Romans and the one that we saw in Galatians, to the Spirit. That the Spirit is there and remains there and is ongoing. That we are continually pulled and embedded within the family of God. That Christ's commitment to his church is ongoing in a way where we're continually enfolded more and more into this covenant community, that we learn as we go and figure out more and more what it means for us to live as God's people together with one another, that Christ himself commits himself through and by the Holy Spirit to remain with us in that task, that we're not left to just figure that one out on our own. But God, by the Holy Spirit, continues to give us that gift. So may we, as God's people, receive that gift. Open it up, put it on, wear it. And may we, as God's people, continually look to God more and more as through the Holy Spirit we are embraced within his covenant community, complicated as it may be at times. But may we sort of figure out, as Kevin McAllister does, as old Mr. Marley does, that it's worth it. Having a family in which we belong is worth it with all that comes with it. And that's the gift that we receive with Jesus at Christmas. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you that in your word that we're reminded of all that salvation means, not just what we are saved from, but also what we are saved into and towards. And God, we're reminded that families can be complicated, but even with all the complications of our brokenness, you still remain with us, and you still are a part of your church with us. So God, as we celebrate that today, as We're mindful once again of all you've given to us. God, we pray that on this day, give us pause, a time to simply stop and reflect and remember on that miracle of your birth as a miracle that points to your majesty, your greatness. It points to the way in which you humbled yourself to be among us. And it points to the greatest gift that we have ever received, the gift of your light within us, your people, the church. God, continue to work in us, that that gift may be ongoing, and that we may more and more, by your Holy Spirit, learn how to share the light of Christ with one another, with the world around us, that you may shine brightly. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.